Tess Zion Eo, Tuesday the 24th of May, Rabbi Avraham Hetcher. How much oil makes a good Lag BaOmer fire? How much oil makes a good fire?
We all know the Ramah, the Ramah in Simtaf Tzadik Dalet, where the Ramah says, Yesh, Lahavis Besimcha Ktsas Piyem Lag BaOmer. As even though the period between Pesach and Shavuos is perhaps the time of Sfir, the time of Avelus, however, b'yom lag b'omer nergin l'harbis b'simcha k'tzas. Why is there simcha? So the Mishnah Berurah brings down, and it's read in the Meiri, the Maril, and others, that on the day of lag b'omer, poskul talmidei Rabbi Akiva lomos. Even though there was a magefa, and talmidei Rabbi Akiva, in this period between Pesach and Atzeres, between Pesach and Shavuos, they died, al shalei nuhagu kovet zeh bozeh. However, on b'yom lag b'omer, poskul not lomos. It's a theory which we've heard many times. But if you think about it, l'chayr it doesn't make any sense. The Pichodesh asks the kasha. So shtel zechvor, let's imagine someone has a house. And he comes home and he sees the house is on fire. And he's tremendous tzar. The house is on fire. Everything's being burnt. And he's watching, there's nothing to do, he's helpless. And he sees the house goes burning, top floor, the first floor, ground floor, until there's absolutely nothing left. When there's nothing left, it's just a heap of rubble on the floor, obviously the fire goes out. So he starts dancing away, Baruch Hashem, the fire's gone out, the fire's gone out. The fool, of course the fire's gone out, there's nothing more to burn. Talmidei Rabbi Akiva, the Lashon HaGemara says, Chof Dalet Elef, 24,000 Talmidim, Hoyle Rabbi Akiva, V'chulo Meisu Mepesach V'Atzeres. They all died from Pesach to Atzeres. No one left. So we know, they say, the Meiri says they died, the Kabbalah, they stopped dying on Lag BaOmer. Of course they stopped dying, there was no one left to die. What's the big simcha that we're nergin l'harbis simcha tzas on Lag BaOmer, al sheposku lomos, they stopped dying. Of course they stopped dying, there was no one left to die. It's a pele v'kasha. So this says the Bichodosh, v'efsha, possibly, the simcha is, aloysam talmidim shoysef achkaf v'kiva shalom eisu keilu. We know that v'kiva restarted again after he lost these 12,000 pairs of talmidim. He started again with another five. And those five survived. Perhaps the simcha is that those five survived. Al shloi meisu ka'ilu, they didn't die like the first ones. Which is l'chaya, a very shver teretz. The first 24,000 they died because there's a punishment. Al shloi nahagu kovet zeh bozeh. If the new group of the five talmidim, they weren't nahagin kovet zeh bozeh. So of course they're going to survive. Why should they have died? They were never in that group who were nichshal in this isav vein odom l'chaveirim. We see from the Pichodosh Kasha that he understood with the Pshitas that every single one of them died. And that's Be'etz in the Lashon HaGemara. V'chulo meisu, they all died with Pesach V'Atzeres. I have seen a theory, others being done from Chaim Kanievsky and from others, that perhaps most of them died, not all of them. And when the Gemara says that kulo meisu, it means Ruben kulo, most of them died, there were a few survived. And that's what it means al Chepos Kulomus. I've added the Pashtas, certainly the Pashtas HaGemara is not mashman like that. The Gemara says V'chulo meisu, not only that, the Gemara carries on, V'hoyo ha'olam shomim. The Torah world was completely desolate. He had no Talmidim. Ad Shabbat, the Dorim, until the Kivas came and he started again, and he started with five new Talmidim. So the Pashas HaGemara is Mashma, certainly that they all died. So the Kasha of Bichodesh is a Gevaldi Kasha. So I saw a Shailas Triv Shamarie, one Nachrenim. He says a beautiful Teretz, but it's a Chiddush. He says that Pashas we take on, that all 24, when the Gemara says, Chavtad Alef Talmidim, Chulam Mesim Pesach Adateres, means there was one year, they all died in that period between Pesach and Shavuos, or Pesach and Lag BaOmer. He says it didn't go like that. Talmidim and Akiva were Nifta over a period of a number of years. Over a period of number of years, they were all Nifta. Every year when it came from Pesach, they started dying again, and it came Lag BaOmer, and the Magefa stopped. Until the next year. Pesach again, came Pesach, they started dying again, until Lag BaOmer. And it went over a period of a number of years, I don't know how many years. Is when it came Lag BaOmer, they knew they had a reprieve till next year Pesach. So maybe the Gemara is Gevaldik. Chavt al elef talmidim hoylo l'ukiva, chulo mesu, they all died in this period, over a number of years. When it came Lag BaOmer every year, they knew the Magefa stopped, and they've got a reprieve till next year. So the reason why Nagu have the Simcha Ketzas Lag BaOmer is taken because al sheposku lomos, that's not austere to the Gemara, when the Gemara says that v'cholam meisu. So that's the first time why there's the first reason which we've got why we increase simcha be'an lag b'omer. But like you know, like you just heard from Rabbi Yanki, that there's another reason which the Achronim bring down why we're not going to have a Simcha Ketzas on Lag BaOmer. And that is the Chvoy of Shimon Bar Yochai. The Chai Odom already says, Bein Pesach La'atzeres Meisu Talmid Rekiva, therefore we're not going to have a Ketzas Avelis, except for Lag BaOmer, not going to have Heta, Shu Yom Hilula, the Rashbi, the Yom Hilula of Shimon Bar Yochai, and the Chvoy Doi, not going to have a Ketzas Simcha. The Chvoy of Shimon Bar Yochai, we're not going to have a Ketzas Simcha. It's like you just heard, the Achronim, some of the Achronim, Bevoishim Nechasim Sefer, he's very unhappy. Like you say, he was giving this, the earthquake in Tzfas there was in Teves, and the following Chodesh Iyar, he gave this Hesped, and he said that, if you ask me, only Chasam Sefer could say such thing, if you ask me why there was such a tremendous earthquake in Tzfas, so much destruction, and so many Yidden killed, he says, as I very shafel Lashonis, he says, Re'idas Hadom Ha'oretz, this earthquake, Him Mekinas Yerushalayim. It was Yerushalayim taking its revenge. He says, until now, Yerushalayim has always been the place, it's the place of Akedas Yitzchak, the place of the Cholam, of the dream of Yaakov Avinu, the place of Aliyah Leregel. Everyone would come to Eretz Yisrael, whoever would come, the first place they'd be running was to Yerushalayim. He says, in the last 100 years or so, we've seen a shift. People come to visit Eretz Yisrael, and no one goes to Yerushalayim, everyone's running to the cave of Shimon Bar Yochai, Tzfas and Tveria. Kvoidesh Yerushalayim, Matzei Oleh, what's going to be with the Kovod Yerushalayim? If you ask me, says the Chasam Sefer, this earthquake is a tremendous oinish, a punishment from the Rebbeinu Shleilom, Vishim Kvoidesh Yerushalayim. And then as he continues and he says, besides for that, Fahayoli Vikuach, I already had a Vikuach, Vizal Magul, he says, Mehechon Matzino, like the Yankee says, where have we ever found such an idea that we make a Simcha on a day of a yard site? Like he said, be it Zayin Ador, be it Rosh Chodesh Nissan, be it Chavav Nissan, the Yom Ptiyas Nod of Avir, the Yom Ptiyas Yishua, but no, whatever it is, we've got a Gevaldiga, it's a Yom Tanis. It's Vas Epes, the Shimon Yechai is different, and it comes from Shimon Yechai, and the days of Elul, we make a Shtikul Yom Tov. Like he said, the Shoyle Meir, the Chasam Seif is not the only one, the Shoyle Meir, she also asked the Kasha, others asked the Kasha, why is Elul and Shimon Yechai different? So again, the Shoyle Meir there, in the same Tshuva, he says, I'll explain to you why. He's talking there about a minug, which some people had on the day of the yard site of their parents. They would make a yom tov, a big suda, a mishta, a simcha, and they bring a raya. If you see, that's what we do in Lag BaOmer, Mishum Kvedish Olim Shim Rachai, what's different from my parents? So the Shom Raya is very different. Most certainly, normally, on a normal tanis, on a normal day of a yard site, be it a person's parents, be it Moshe Rabbeinu, be it Yishuv, and whoever it is, of others, yom tanis. But Mishum Rachai is different. Why is Mishum Rachai different? Because we know that the Romans were after him, they were chasing him, he was running for his life. There was a death warrant. They wanted to catch him and murder him. He survived in the Ma'ariyah, in the cave for 12, 13 years. And in the end, Baruch Hashem, he came out and he died a natural death. The simcha which we have is that we see on Lag BaOmer, he was zeicha to die a natural death. And the goyim, they never managed to catch up with him, they never managed to take him. And the proof in the pudding is, because we know that Haruge Malchus, someone who gets killed by the king, Einem Din Kibur, they don't have a normal burial. And the fact that you see here in Tzfas, we go there in Meron, and we see that Rav Shimon Bar was zeicher to a normal burial, he died a natural death, and he was zeicher to a normal kibur, was the proof that the Rebbeinu Shalom was orchestrating events, the goyim didn't manage to get hold of him, and that's the simcha. The simcha wasn't the ptira. The simcha was the fact that he was nifted in a normal natural way, a natural death, the Mises, Rebbeinu Shleilam was a raya that was a proof that the goyim didn't manage to execute what they wanted to do. And that's the simcha. Sorry? What's Harugi Beita? Oh, you have to know, in a normal life, yeah. Another reason, besides the outside of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, we know, like, was on the day of his patir, was Megala Soidus HaTorah. Yeah, like the Bnei Soscha says, Gal Einai Bavito, Gal Einai is Gal is Lamad Gimel, Lag BaOmer is Gal Einai, the Rebbeinu Shem opened my eyes, Vavito Niflois Meteresecha, Teres HaNigdu, we got from Moshe Rabbeinu, Teres HaNista, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai was Megala, says, Givaldig is Simcha. One way or another, whether it's justified or not, depending on which Achronim you look at, at the end of the day, the minig is, like you said, 500,000 people, whoever it is, go to Meron every year. And there have been those Achronim who have tried to stop it over the years with the Gefeldeche consequences. A couple of times the Rav tried to stop it. He thought it wasn't right, and Velohitzi Shnase, he wasn't Zoicha to make it to the next Lag BaOmer, he died an unnatural death. Whatever it is, Kachum in Hogam, Shalhabim Achinum in Yisrael, as they go to Meron. And we're Mesameach Besimchas Lag BaOmer for the Hilul Adub Shimon Bar Yochai. The Reuel, Samarov, said, if you'd asked me if the Chasam Sefer would have ever gone to Moran on Lag BaOmer, he would never have said what he said. Hakabonim, one way or another, Eilav Eilav Divinikim Chaim. One of the things which is done there in Moran by these tremendous fires, fires we can do anywhere, but Befrat in Moran, the Chvedish of Shim Machoy, so one, they have to make tremendous fires. How do you make such tremendous fires? Zachronim Amei, they give testimony that over the years people come, till today, and they throw in clothing, articles of clothing into the fire to make the fire higher, bigger, better. And it's brought down already the Rechaim HaKadosh when he went down, it's not a new thing, the Rechaim HaKadosh when he went up to Moran, he already threw clothing in the fire. And the obvious problem is, it's the Issa, either in Atoyim or Jabonon. We know the Pasuk in Pasuk Shreifim says that there's an Issa of Bal Tashkis. Even though the Pasuk is talking about destroying a fruit tree, rather the Issa of the Reis is to destroy a fruit tree. However, it's Muskim in all the Pasukim, it's Klar, Mevu in the Gemara, that there's Issa of Bal Tashkis not only on a fruit tree. Anytime you take something which has got value, which has got a use, and you destroy it unnecessarily, there's Issa of Bal Tashkis. Whether it's Midrais or Midrabonon is not the point, but there's definitely an Issa. The Sefer Yireim says, we know that tremendous einshim, tremendously bad consequences for someone who's over on Bal Tashkis, even David HaMelech who cut the cloak of Shaul, and you know he was in the cave, and he came up to Shaul, and he went up behind him, and he cut the corner of his cloak. That's why HaMelech David Zokin Baba Yomim, by Chasub, Begodim, Belo Yechem, when he was elderly, they covered him with clothing, and the clothing didn't have the desired effect, it didn't keep him warm, why? Because he was mezalzel in the clothing. He was mashkes, an article of clothing. There's tremendous ancient for someone who's mashkes, for someone who destroys any article which has value. Here we go to Moran, and we're chucking, throwing loads of good quality clothing into the fire. What's the heter? The Sholem Eishiv asked the same kasha, and he says that we know when it comes to a melech, a king who dies, so we know that his articles of clothing, or his scepter, whatever it is, gets burnt. Why? Because, dafka these things, because you're not allowed to use them. The clothing or whatever it is, which has the kli tashmish of the melech, once he's died, no one else is allowed to use them. Because no one else is allowed to use them, therefore we go and we can burn it. However, something which has got good value, something which you're allowed to use, what's the heter? The chayyid is a big problem of Bal Tashkis. Says the Sholem Eishiv of Pshitali. If you ask me, it's obvious. That in previous days, b'mei Ari, v'shar kadoshim lo ha'isim came. They didn't go there. They went to the Moran, they learned, they said Tehillim. He said, over the generations, this new meaning has come. V'ani oyev lohem, he says, I'm a guarantor, I guarantee them. Shimu yolok chimoisim omen. If they would take that money, which they used on all the value of all the clothing, v'ayum mefanisim aniyeh eretz yisol bozeh, and they would use it and give it to stock instead, yoyisol yonich leilu v'shimu yochai. V'shimu yochai would be happy if they'd give it to stock rather than chuck it in the fire. Ad kan divei sholem eish. The Chikrei Lev also asked the Kasha, Eini Moitza B'zeh Tzad Heter. He said, I've looked around, I can't find any Heter, I can't understand what should be the Tzad Heter. And he brings another Raya, besides the proof which we spoke about from the Klei Tashmish of the Melech. He brings another Raya, we know when it came to Simchas Beis HaSheva, they also had to make a fire. How did they make the fire? What did they make the wicks with? Says the Gemara, Mivloi Michnesei Kohanim, from the worn out Big Day Kohanim. From the worn out Big Day of the Kohanim, from that they used to make the wicks for Simchas Beis HaSheva. Why dafka the worn out ones? Obviously, he says, because the good quality ones take good quality clothing, even for Simchas Beis HaSheva, is Bal Tashkis. So therefore, they dafka took the worn out ones. What's epis that the Simcha, the fire, the Madur, which we're going to make from Shimni Achai, is different to the fire we make on Simchas Beis HaSheva. There, they also made tremendous fires, and they were makpid to take Mibloi Michnesei Kohanim from the worn out ones. The extent of the Issa of Bal Tashkis, the Rebbein Yonin Shai Tshuva brings Moedik Azaf just to put things into perspective. He says, V'chein izharnu bozeh shalei lefazim oman noei kafilu shoveh putah. Even a shoveh putah, tuppence, 5 pence, if it's lahashchosa, there's no heter Bal Tashkis. I was once in a shule in London, and the father gave his son a 20p coin to give to the moshulach was coming round. He never made it round to that thing, So the father said afterwards, where's the money? He said, the money? I dropped it in the dustbin. So the father made him dig it out of the dustbin. He said, it could be 20p, it could be 5p. But we're not mashkes anything. Something which has value, of course. There's Issa Bal Tashkis on any hashkos. The Sefer Chinuch says, He says, "Chassidim lo yohayu, lo yoyiv dafilu gargir shachado boilam, even one grain of mustard, a tiny mustard seed, we wouldn't be mashkes." And here we're taking clothes worth. They were made, that, so they gave a testimony that some of the clothing was a rich woman sent a beged which was embroidered with nice silver and precious stones, and they threw it in the fire. He said, "I can't understand what's that." With Shmuel Heller, he was the Nifto just over 100 years ago, he was the Rav in Tzfas. And he wrote an entire kuntrus, entire pamphlet, to be miyashed of the minig and say it's not shver bechla. There's no problem with Baltashkes. He says, "I want to ask you, if you're worried about Baltashkes, you're worried about Baltashkes about throwing the begodim, throwing the clothing into the fire, so let's say you don't throw the begodim, how do you make the fire with all the oil? What's the heter to throw so much oil in the fire? I can make a fire with a lot less oil. And here we're throwing in bottles and gallons of oil. And there's enough oil in a little bit to make a fire. What's the heter to throw in so much oil? If you've got a problem with the clothing, then even without the clothing, there should be a problem with Baltashkes." So mainly he says there's no problem whatsoever. What's the etzer? So he says there's Gemara in Brachos. Famous Gemara, the Gemara brings a story. Gemara says like this, "Ma b'ed Ravina, ma the son of Ravina, ovet hilul lebrei, made a chasna for his son." Gemara in Brachos, lamed on the base. "Chazinu le Rabbonon, da have a kabod chituva." He saw the Rabbonon in a good mood. And it bothered him a bit. They were perhaps a little bit too frivolous. "Aisi kisa de moika," so he brought along this glass. Of, says Rashi, "Koitzer shel zchuchis levon," it was type of white type of glass, a very precious type of glass. "Bas arba mea zuzi," worth 400 zuz. "V'tova kamayu," and he broke it in front of them. "V'ad sivu," they straight away became more serious. Interesting, it wasn't their kois. He broke his kois, but because he broke his own cup, that was enough to give them a shock and bring them back down to earth. Says Tosfos, "Mikan nagu l'shabes chuchz b'nisuin," and this is the Makor in the Gemara, we break a glass at the chasna. Now the truth is, the reason why we break a glass is not to put people in a good mood, not to take people out of a good mood. Firstly, because manena, I don't know if we're on the madrega, if we saw someone else breaking his own thing, they would put us in a bad mood. But al gabonim, we break it for a different reason, zechir shalayim. What does tesis mean? Mikan nagu, it's completely different. Rachashuch, and others say the reason why we break is in meishkachich yushalayim tishkachim mini. What does tesis mean? What Tosfos Lechayim means is, when Yoda here asked the Kasha, he said, "I don't understand, this glass is worth 400 zuz." And he went and he smashed it. Why is there no problem with Baltashkes? Why is there no problem with Baltashkes? What's the etzer of Ma'abre Ravina to go and break this glass? To say, says Ben Yoda, to say that it was a fake, it was a cheap version, and it just looked like a good imitation, a good replica of one. And when the Gemara says it means 400 zuz, means it looked like one which is worth 400 zuz. Really, this was much cheaper. That's very shver in the Gemara. Pashas the Gemara says it was worth 400 zuz. So whatever reason it is, it says in the Gemara that there was no problem to break this. There was no problem of altashkes. So that's what Tosfos means. The mikan nagul l'shabe lishbe zchuch has been issuin. We do it for a different reason, not for the reason of the Gemara. But whatever reason in the Gemara, there's no problem of altashkes. There's no problem of altashkes here also not. So why tak is there no problem of altashkes? So then the other says it must be that this glass which he brought along had a chip in it. It wasn't fitting to be used anymore. It had a crack in it. It was perhaps not noticeable to the naked eye. So when he bought it, the others didn't see that it was useless, this glass. They didn't realize it had a hole in the bottom or crack in. And therefore, they thought it was worth 400 zuz, but really it wasn't. But to take a complete glass, most certainly would be baltashkes. If that's pshat, then we've got again, shver, what does taste mean? How can we break a good glass under the chuppah? Comes the Ma'at Zchias. The Ma'at Zchias says like this. Af al gav de kaimlan amashab kelim over be baltashkes. What's the heter? Is it baltashkes? Yesh loima, kiven de osom ishum siba kedin sheyiyu atzevim loyshayach isek baltashkes. The definition of baltashkes means you shouldn't destroy. The definition of hashchos of destruction is when you do something for no reason. As soon as you have a valid reason to do something, it's not hashchos anymore. Because hashchos by definition doesn't mean to break something. Hashchos means destruction, to destroy something. Destroying means to destroy it for no valid reason. To go and to break something when you have a valid reason is of course not baltashkes. Ma'abed Ravina understood that if the Rabbanan there at the chasna, they were perhaps being a little bit too frivolous, it was worth his while to go and break it and take a good glass which was taka worth 400 zuz. It wasn't cracked, it wasn't chipped, it didn't have a hole in it, it wasn't a replica. But to break it for a good reason, there's no problem with baltashkes. Says the Shmuel Helen, this great Malachim, that if we've got a valid reason to throw these big begodim into the fire, to throw these clothing into the fire, then there's no problem with Baal Tashris. You're going to ask me, why is Habs is good enough with oil? Why do I need to throw high quality clothing into the fire? There's reasons to throw quality clothing into the fire. Perhaps it's to be Miramas, to remember the Zchus of Bishim Yochai when he was sitting in the cave, like the Gemara says in Shabbos Am Gimel, he was sitting in the cave, he was on that Madrega, he was sitting without clothes on, he covered himself in sand, he reached the Madrega of Adam Rishon before the Chet, where Adam Rishon we know didn't have any clothing. Perhaps to be Miramas, that would take clothing and throw in the fire. Whatever the reason is, there's a good reason why we're throwing the clothing into the fire. Therefore, says Shmuel, I don't know what your problem is, there's no Issa Baal Tashris. Are you going to ask me a question? You're going to ask me, so why Mibloi Michnesei Kohanim? Why, when it came to Simchas Beis HaSheiva, did they dafka use the worn out clothing of the Kohanim? Why didn't they take good quality clothing? So the Steich Emet, perhaps it means, of course, they would take good quality clothing also. The Chiddush is that they would even take old Big Day Kuna, where perhaps there's a problem with Me'ila. Besides the Baal Tashris, perhaps there's a problem of using something which was used in the Beis HaMikdash to use for something else. The Chiddush is they even used Mivloi Michnesei Kohanim. They even used worn out Big Day Kuna. But, of course, they could take normal clothing, good quality clothing, and do that also. So.
Also, you could kind of give it this other thing, it's for Chodah, but they prefer to take Mivloi Michnesei Kohanim than Stam.
That could be also.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's possible.
It's not called Baal Tashris with the oil and the clothes. The clothes cost £100. Can do the fire for 5 hours.
So that's what he said. That if there's a good reason to do it, then I want to ask you, in the case of the Gemara, he took a kos worth 400 zuz. Why didn't he take a kos worth 100 zuz? Because he realized he wouldn't have the same desired effect. Perhaps he wouldn't have brought them down, back down to earth, take away the frivolity if they wouldn't have. It had to be worth something. Here as well, if you've got a good valid reason, even though if you could do it cheaper, there's no problem Baal Tashris. So because we've got a reason to do the begodim, to show that Shimon Yochai was on the Madrega, didn't need the begodim, then perhaps that's a valid reason.
He wouldn't say this. Every carbon would be Baal Tashris.
That can't be, because the Torah says it's been the carbon. Why is there no problem with Baal Tashris? Why is there no problem with Baal Tashris going to throw your chometz in the fire?
Yeah.
I've got bottles and bottles of whiskey.
Thing, yeah.
I've got, so some people sell their chometz. One I can't remember who says, those people who don't want to rely on Mechir's chometz, and now they go and throw it in the fire, someone's going to come and tie them. What do you mean? Baal Tashris, you've got an eitzah, sell the chometz. Of course, if the same Torah which says Baal Tashris, says Tashpis is oimu batechem. So if the same Torah tells you to Tashpis is oimu batechem, the same Torah tells you to be in carbonus, of course in such a case there's no Baal Tashris. Where does this manifest itself in halacha lemaisa? For example, someone misha shochach, says the mechaber, someone who forgot and put something in his mouth without a bracha, and he puts a piece of food or some drink in his mouth without a bracha, and suddenly he's in his mouth, he hasn't swallowed, and he realizes he didn't make a bracha. So says the mishnah, the mechaber says boilon, he can swallow it. Says the mishnah, when it says he can swallow it, that's only if he doesn't have any other drink, and he mamish needs his drink, he's thirsty. If he's got more drink in the cup, then he should spit it out. Spit out the drink which you've got in your mouth, say brach, and then carry on drinking from what's left in the cup. One second, why is the news about hash? Because he's taking good quality coffee, good quality coke, whatever it is, he's got it in his mouth, and he's spitting it down the sink. What's the heter? Teretz is, there's no baltash, just why am I spitting it out? I've got a valid reason. Because also, la'adam la'anis minat moylem azeb loy brach. And because he's got, and it's certainly a valid reason, so there's no problem with Baal Tashris. There's a story in the Pera Doi, from the Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish, we know, was very, very makpid that his sforim was sold for the right price. Someone wanted, many, many stories, someone wanted to give him a bit extra, and he absolutely refused. This was the price, and this was the price, not a penny more. Once, his Rebbetzin, someone came to buy one of the sforim, and his Rebbetzin sold one of the svarim. And even though it was only, he sold it for 25 bushin, she took a whole lira. And he came and he heard about it. So Chazon Ish called her, he called the Rebbetzin, and he said, bring me the lira, the note, the shtar, the bill which you've got. She brought him the lira, and he ripped it to shreds in front of her. He ripped it to shreds. And afterwards he explained, he said, are you going to say to me Baal Tashris? He said, the limud, which I'm going to teach my Rebbetzin by doing this, is worth me a lot, lot more than a lira. The limud that she's going to learn, never to take anything more, even if someone insists paying more, I adamantly refuse, and she's not allowed to accept any more than the cost price, that limud is worth more. It's worth, there's no problem with Baal Tashris. Afterwards, Lemaise, he took the bill and he sellotaped it together, and Lemaise sent it back to the person who gave it to him. But I'll upon him the same idea, that where there's a valid reason to do it, there's no problem. The problem is that the Gemara does say, the Gemara does bring a similar story in Kedushin, where the Gemara says the person wanted to test out the patience of his son. This person, he went and he started, ripping something in front of his son. Now his son knows that one day I'm supposed to yashin. Let's imagine a father's got, you know, this document that I'm the owner of all my bank accounts, the proof of ownership. And he goes in front of his son, he rips it up, and his son's thinking, one day, lacham eves, I'm supposed to yashin that. So they say, even though it's not mine yet. So the Gemara asked, he wanted to test the midas of his son, if his son would get angry. He wouldn't get angry. One night more, and the Gemara asked Akasha, Bal Tashris, what's the head to tear up the clothing? Or to tear up the wall, or whatever he did. And the Gemara says he tore it on the seams where you could restitch it. You see, the Gemara, that even though he had a valid reason, it is a problem of Bal Tashris. Obviously, we're going to have to say that not every reason is valid. Everyone, we have to know exactly what's called a valid reason, what's not called a valid reason. Bal Kaponim, where there is a valid reason, there's no problem Bal Tashris. There's a Chuvin Ben Ishchai. Ben Ishchai writes that someone wrote a Shaila that he'd bought a roll of tremendously expensive fabric for his wife to give to a seamstress to sew a beggar, to sew a dress. And she took this fabric, she went to the seamstress, and she came back and she showed him the dress she sewed, and it wasn't sneeristic. So he pleaded with his wife not to wear it. But she wouldn't, it was a stunning piece of clothing. And now he's stuck, he's bought it, he didn't know what to do. So he wrote Shuvah to Ben Ishchai, he said, what should I do? Is there a heter for me to destroy it? So Ben Ishchai says, of course there's a heter. There's no problem about Tashris. You're doing it for a very, very valid reason. Your wife refuses not to put this away, refuses to alter it. She refuses to leave it in the cupboard. She wants to wear it. It's not sneeristic. Of course, he says, it's a tov. He says, do it while she's not looking. Do it in a way that's not going to make your shalom bias. But if you're worried about Tashris, no problem about Tashris. It's a good quality piece of clothing. It might be a tremendously expensive fabric, but in the end of the day, it's not sneeristic. Another example, we know that if someone wants to restring his tzitzis, if someone wants to put new tzitzis on the beged, so halacha is that you shouldn't cut it. It would be easier rather to unstring it, rather just to cut the things at the corner. It would be easier just to cut it. But after became it's paltashkas. If you unstring it, you can use these tzitzis on a different beged. Says the Mishnah Berurah v'shem Chaya Odom. Even though there's nisa baltashkas to cut the strings, once they're cut, you can't use them anymore. You know what I mean? Cut on the beged, cut on the corner. He says, but if, however, it's a big tircha for you, it's a big tircha. To start unraveling these tzitzis is going to take a long time, and perhaps you don't have the time, it's a big tircha, then there's no bal tashkas. Because the reason why I'm doing it again is for a valid reason. Now here we see that sometimes, it's called a valid enough reason, even if the only reason I'm doing it, being mashkas this thing, destroying this good quality thing, is only to save myself time and effort. There is a limud zchus, which Rabbi Yisrael Zilberstein Shlita says, which you have to know, that he talks about the tremendous avla which is done after Simchas. There's boxes and boxes and crates of good quality food which have been at the end of a Simcha which haven't been eaten, which perhaps could go to Aniyim, whatever. Why is there no problem about Tashkas? His food hasn't been touched. He said perhaps there's a limud zchus, I'm not saying it's a hetav, there's a limud zchus of the olam, perhaps the time which it would take, the time involved to start sorting out what can be shipped off, what can't be shipped off, perhaps that goes into this hetav, something where there's a tircha to do, and the tircha is a substantial tircha, perhaps then there's no problem of Bal Tashkas. You take a tangerine, you open the tangerine, you open a fruit, and you see half of it is wormy. Half of it's full of worms. The other half isn't. But perhaps you have been put off, and you want to chuck it away. Is there a problem with Bal Tashkas? It's not a problem with Bal Tashkas. You have to know, is that called a valid enough reason? Perhaps the very fact that half of it is wormy, even if I'm convinced the worms haven't gone into the other half, perhaps it's a valid enough reason to bin the whole thing, because the person is moss from it, the person doesn't want to eat it.
I'm just wondering, is there an element of Avodah Zorah here in all these fires? Because they're burning high quality clothing. To me it sounds a bit like they're sacrificing the stuff. Whenever people burn things, you've got to ask them why are they burning them.
100%. If they're doing it as a sacrifice, then there would be a problem. But they're not doing it as a sacrifice.
She's going to a very expensive article of clothing. She's offering it.
She's not offering it. No, of course she's not offering it. She's doing it. The husband is burning the clothing because it's... Oh, you mean it's not a sneeristic one or in Meirot?
They're doing it because they want good Muslim.
No, they're doing it as a lekavod like Yerachaim did it, lekavod hilulah b'shim Yerachaim, to show b'shim Yerachaim was in such a madreig, he doesn't need begodim. If you do it as a sacrifice, then it might be a problem. That's not the reason. And if it is the reason, then it's a problem.
Simple-minded people,
unfortunately, when they go to a Beis HaKvaros, they think they're davening to the tzaddik. That's a bigger problem of Avodah Zorah. They're not davening to the tzaddik, they're davening to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, b'shus tzaddik. We have to know what we're doing. Of course, in all in Yiddishkeit, we can't just knock mach, you can't just copy. You have to know what you're doing and understand what you're doing.
Yeah,
of course,
that's probably why our place people want to stop it.
No, they say why they want to stop it. They wanted to stop it because they thought there was a problem with Bal Tashkas. But like I say, if you don't want to do it, you don't have to do it. There were these two schools of thought amongst the Achoinim. Some were very for it and some were very against. I'm just to finish off, we know that the Chanukah Mishkan was 12 days from Shchedish Nissen to Yud Beis Nissen, but the Chasam Sefer brings a raya that when it comes to, you know, when they rededicated the Beis Hamikdash Hasheni, it was only two of the Shvatim, and the Simcha lasted 8 days. Because even though in the time of Parshas Nasi, each Nasi had 1 day, it brings life from Gemara and Ksuvos, which we don't have time to go into now, that last of Lava, each one is going to have 4 days. So when it comes to last of Lava, Binyan Beis Hamikdash Hashlishi, we're going to have 12 Shvatim, and each one has 4 days. So 48 days, starting from Mishchedesh Nissen, takes you to Yud Ches Iyah. Chanukah HaMishkan, the last of Lava, Chanukah Beis Hamikdash Hashlishi, will be on Yud Ches Iyah, on Lag Boeime. Now, hopefully, let's hope it's going to be this year. We shall say goodbye to Binyan Beis Hamikdash. Maybe, I mean.